This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, August 11th, 2024. Life verses, God empowers you.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
There at home, here in the sanctuary, it's good to see each and every one of you. What a great day to be part of God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen,
amen. So today we continue our series called Life Verses. You know, a life verse is a verse of scripture that you go to when things are challenging, when things are maybe difficult, when you need someone or something to turn to. A life verse is that verse that you kind of keep in your back pocket, you keep on your lips, you keep at your fingertips. When their life turns to crisis mode even. A life verse is that verse that holds you up when things are going down. From the life verses that you all turned in, we chose three for this morning that kind of have the central theme, God empowers you. Say, God empowers me.
God empowers me.
That's right, God empowers you.
Good morning.
Boom.
It works when you put it.
God empowers you.
Yeah. So does Carl on the soundboard.
That was pretty tricky to do that to introduce this message today.
Hey, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 For those who may be here once or twice, but those of you who have been here for a long time, let's share our mission statement, the mission of Connection Church, to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers. That's what we're all about. One way that we connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers is by being involved in our community. The Peach Festival is on Saturday, and you know, it's a huge event for Middletown. People from all over come. We are blessed to have a booth right in the center of it all. It's right next to the church on Main, across from Everett Theater, so it couldn't be in a better location. And we have a chance to be at a booth, and Amy and Alan and I are there, and you know, relate to families and kids and people who come by with a smile, with an invitation to our fall festival, which is coming up, to just be the hands and feet of Jesus. So if you're at the Peach Festival, stop by our booth, but we really could use some fresh legs every once in a while. So there's three shifts. If you could give an hour and a half, sign up in the lobby, 10 to 11:30, 11:30 to 1, or 1 to 2:30, and we would really appreciate it. And Alan,
when does your start? When does that start? What time do they have to be there?
10.
If you want to get part of it much earlier than that, you can be part of the group that helps the vendors find their parking place and check them in. We help with that every year. That's why they give us a free spot on Main Street as a thank you for checking people in. If you'd like to get started at 5:30, see me after the service, and I'll tell you a great opportunity to be part of the Connection Church and the Peach Festival. So see me after service.
It's really a great opportunity to connect.
It is.
Well, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for today that we can gather online or right here at 4744 Summit Bridge Road. Thank you for your word found in Scripture, for the way that you speak to us through the Bible, and these scriptures that we'll be using today about how you empower us. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God empowers you. God has all the power in the world and beyond the world and everything in between, and you know, the galaxies and lots and lots of power. God empowers us through the Holy Spirit. When we claim Christ as our Lord, the Holy Spirit resides in us. The Holy Spirit is like dynamite. I mean, it's power beyond, and that is available to us. the Holy Spirit living in us to empower us. And we just need to accept that in faith. If you're super analytical, you know, it's hard. But to just say yes to that relationship, it's also a surrender of our will to God's will for us. Surrendering ourselves gives us that Holy Spirit power that carries us every day of our lives.
So several books in the New Testament are actually letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to churches in the mostly around Greece and Greater Greece. One is not modern day Turkey, actually, and these letters are in the books in the Bible, but they were letters that Paul wrote to encourage these churches, to keep them focused. These were churches he either started or he kind of picked up and encouraged on. And our first life verse comes from the letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi. The book in the Bible is called Philippians. And this is chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, in which we find this life verse. So here we go. Paul writes this: how I praise the Lord that you, that's the people at the church at Philippi, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content. Say content.
Content.
That's a good thing to be, isn't it? Content. It doesn't mean passive. It means satisfied with what you have. Content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing. That's a good thing, isn't it? Or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And here's our life verse. And say it with me, will you please? For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah, there you go.
That is such a great verse.
It is a great verse. I'll bet it's one of your favorites.
It's one of my favorites. It is. So according to the Life Application Bible, in some notes, Paul and his companion started this church in Philippi on his second missionary journey. Paul was a missionary, and so he would go and travel, he'd settle, and then he'd do another journey. And so we read about these, and this is when the church started. And so he didn't stay, he left, and then he would write letters. And this letter, it's called the Book of Philippians in the Bible, and he didn't write with chapters like we have, but you know, he wrote him a letter while he was in prison. He was in a Roman prison when he wrote this, and he was thinking of the Philippian church and caring for them and thanking them for caring for him. And he wanted to encourage them and give them strength by showing them that true joy comes through Jesus Christ. Now, he was sitting in a prison writing this. And he was still thankful, and he was still giving God the glory. So there really was meat around this as he's encouraging the Philippian church. He was saying that true joy comes from Jesus Christ alone.
And as Paul expresses here, he has been in all situations. You know, before he started following Christ, he was a Pharisee. He was kind of a high-ranking person in the Jewish faith. He had a lot going for him. And then, and following Christ, he had a lot going for him. But also, he faces troubles and tribulations. He's been shipwrecked a couple times. He's been beaten. He's been stoned. He's been jailed. Right now, he's in prison when he's writing this letter. He's seen it all, from having a full stomach to one that is empty, as he writes, from living on almost nothing to living with everything. He has learned the secret to living in every situation. That's something that would be good for each and every one of us to learn, isn't it? To live, be able to live joyfully in every situation. And that secret is Jesus Christ. Simply, Jesus Christ. Paul says that he can do everything through Christ who gives him strength. Paul is empowered through Jesus Christ and Jesus alone.
So Alan said, Jesus is the secret, but we are not to keep Jesus a secret. We are to share the good news. And the good news is that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit when we claim Christ as Lord. And we are not empowered by the things that we have. We are not empowered by the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the stuff, the house, the cars, the titles, the tests, you know. We're not empowered by all the letters after our name. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. None of that can do a single thing for us. It's Christ that gives us power in good times, in bad times, and everything in between. When we are weak, he is strong. When we feel like our spirit is failing, he pours into us that empowerment, that love, that strength. When we can't, when we think, I don't know if I can get through the next hour, and sometimes we really do have times like that. This is a verse that we can put in our head, but connect it to our heart so that we can live it out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just keep saying it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we're talking about Jesus, it's really hard to be like this. It's like we're lifted up. I can do all things. This is a great life verse.
So that was his letter to the church at Philippi. In another letter, one that he shared with the people at the church of Ephesus, he talks about how God is using him, Paul, to share the mystery of Christ with them. They're the Gentiles. They're not Jews. These are non-Jews. These are Gentiles in that church. And he shares how he has been given the privilege of preaching to them the unsearchable riches, he says, of Jesus Christ, through whom God created all things. You know, that second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, has been in existence forever. Not in person as he came born to Mary, but he's been part of that Trinity from before time began. He was part of the creation, he says, Paul says. And then Paul tells them, the people at that church of Ephesus, not to lose heart at all the tribulations they face. We say that to you too. Don't lose heart at all the tribulations you might face day to day in this life. Because as he says to Paul, these are part of your glory. These are part of what God has in store, not necessarily for bad, but for good. He says that it is for this reason that he bows his knees to the Father, that God would grant him that he be strengthened through God's Holy Spirit, that Christ might dwell in their hearts through faith, that they might know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. You know that love? It's like we say about the joy that passes all understanding. It's that faith, that love of Christ that goes beyond all measure. He says that the people there in that church, would be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a lot. That's a lot of fullness. And then Paul shares this. Ephesians 3, 20, 21. And this is our second life verse for the day. Now to him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more. Immeasurably. That means beyond measure. It can't be measured. It's so much. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And some of you have pretty wild imaginations. Some of you ask a lot. Some of us ask a lot, don't we? Well, this is immeasurably more than we can dream up. than we can ask or even imagine. And how? According to what? His power. His power that is at work within us. What's today's message, Tom? God empowers me, you, us. It's that beyond all measure, according to the power that God puts in you. Wow. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through not just you, all generations, your kids, 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 and on and on and on, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Wow. Isn't that an awesome verse of Scripture? To have that ready, available, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more. Wow.
That immeasurably more, that's a lot. And then some. There's another way that another translation puts this that is just like, woo. This is the New King James Version. Now to him, God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. How about that one? Exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory. God gets it all. God gets all the glory. In the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen means agreement. Amen means so be it. Yes, it is our yes. That's what yes. When we say amen, that means yes, we believe what we just said. Yes.
Exceedingly abundantly. More on top of more. Wow. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? You can't get much more than that. Exceedingly abundantly. According to the power that works in us, God's power, Father, Son, Holy Spirit power working within us. Man, able to give us exceedingly abundantly above all we ask. Measurably more than we can ask or imagine. This is the life verse of somebody we know pretty well. Actually, she's kind of close. It's our daughter, actually. It's our third daughter, Devin Jones Jacob. And she wants to tell you how this life verse has kind of lived out in her life in the last few years. Here you go.
So Ephesians 3:20 states, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Have you ever prayed an Ephesians 3:20 prayer? I started praying that prayer about 6.5 years ago after I had heard a Bible teacher named Priscilla Shire in a Bible study that I was a part of. And she did a lesson on the scripture, really showing that God is able to go far beyond what we even can comprehend. And in that season of my life, I was just in a period in which I was feeling a little discontent. I'm an educator, and I was thriving in my work, but I just felt sort of empty. I felt a little lost. It was year 7 for me, and I don't know. I just was looking for God to show me what he wanted me to do. And I prayed this prayer for 1.5 years, just going through the motions, being the best I could be, but feeling a sense of emptiness. And after 1.5 years of praying this prayer, God showed up in a mighty way. I got a tap on the shoulder, and I was asked to move into a position that had not even happened before. So I was able to move into a role where I had the ability to really create it from the ground up. And it was really being a resource for other educators. And I found that that was exactly what God was had in store for me. I continued to pray the Ephesians 3:20 prayer. I guess over the last 5 years, I'd been an instructional coach for the last 5 years. While going back to school and really feeling a sense that God was calling me to even something greater than that. And so last year, I graduated with my doctorate and was able to get additional credentials under my name to move into more administrative roles. And over the past year, I was faced with a lot of no's and a lot of not yets. And it was so disheartening. But God just continued to say, hang on, I have something in store for you. And about the middle of the year last year, there were some changes within my building that allowed me to take on additional responsibilities and roles. But all the while, I didn't want to move out of my building, out of the space. I just felt called to something more. And it was this summer where I was able to move into one of our assistant principal roles in the building that I have been in the past 10 years. And through all of the no's and not yets this past year, God just said, I have something better in store for you, and you're not even going to have to move. Working in my school, continuing to work in my school, is literally a dream for me. It's the school I graduated from 20 years ago. It's the school I've been working at for the past 10 years. It's the school that raised me. And so to be able to take on this new and exciting endeavor in the place that really holds my heart dear is just absolutely a dream come true. He has shown up in a mighty way and has done immeasurably more than I could have even put together. He allowed me the opportunity to learn in a safe space, and he has given me the tools and equipped me to thrive where I've been planted.
You know, before you say anything, she went on so many interviews, and it was no. And it was hard to understand some of those no's, because it seemed like it was a good fit. But everyone, even through the tears, she would say, okay, I know that God's got something for me. I'm just going to trust that. And I'm like, as her mom, I'm like, wow, okay, that's like a witness to me. But God really does give us more than we could ever imagine.
Well, God's timing is, you know, the spot that was for her wasn't open. And if she'd been put in another spot, it wouldn't have been right, would it? You know, God is faithful. And God empowers you. God empowers us. You know, remember our verse from last week? We need only to be still.
Yeah.
Thanks, Devin.
So our third verse, actually, we need to set it up with some context. And so it is found in Mark chapter 10. It's verse 27. It's also found in Matthew and in Luke. And so we want to share the story that leads up to the life verse, Mark 10, 27. I'm going to start at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. So what Jesus is going to say next is completely out of love. One thing you lack, Jesus said, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth.
But he wasn't thinking Jesus was loving him at that point, was he? The rich young man was feeling pretty good when Jesus was asking him about the commandments. Yeah. I've followed those all my life, ever since I was a boy. Yeah, not bad. I think I got this. Yeah. And then Jesus had to go and go crazy on him and ask for the one thing that the rich young man couldn't let go of. Go and sell all you've got and give it to the poor. That's a lot to ask, don't you think? How would you feel if you were asked to do that? Go sell everything you've got, not some, everything you've got, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. You know, we're reminded here of that scripture found in 1 Timothy, a letter Paul wrote to Timothy, 6 chapter 10 verse, the New International Version says this, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
So it's important to say that money is not the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money. What is it? It's the love of money.
Whoa.
When we love money more than we love the Lord. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, yes, we do. There are times when I have worked doing hours that are, I thought, necessary, and it could have sacrificed my time with the Lord. There are times when I put my children on pedestals. They shouldn't be that high. Jesus is on the ultimate pedestal. I love when Alan says to me, Carrie, I love you. You're my number two. That's the way it should be. But there are times when there are things, even our time. I mean, how often do we run, and we might miss the most important things? And so, what is it for you? If Jesus were to ask me, you know, Carrie, I want you to blah, blah, blah. Whew, okay. I can remember when Erin, that's our firstborn, was born. I was looking at her in her crib, and I had just gotten a little newsletter from the church that we attended. I was a nurse. Alan was doing insurance at that point, and
Just started,
and I'm looking at this little gift from God, and I was reading this newsletter from our church that said, your child is God's. God loves her more than you do, so make sure you give her to him, something like that. And I'm like,
no way.
Are you kidding me? I could not love this child more than you. But I really had to do this. It almost made me mad. It was weird. I was young. I've come to get it a little bit more. But what do you need to let go of in order to fully follow Jesus Christ? Good question for all of us every day.
Well, Jesus, his request was too much for the young man. He was looking good on the commandments, but he couldn't pay he couldn't part with the possessions. And his face fell, and he walked away sad because the scripture says, he had great wealth. After he left, Jesus looked around at his disciples and expressed how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples, they were amazed at what he said. The scripture said they were amazed. And you think, why were they amazed? Because it doesn't tell us. But maybe we can figure it out. See, the disciples thought that many, as we many still do today, they thought that money, wealth, possessions were God's reward for a righteous life. We have some of that around us and different preachers and believers. And, you know, kind of a prosperity gospel, if you've heard that word, prosperity gospel. The rich get richer thanks to God's rewards. Right? Wrong. That's not how it works.
The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, and remember he's talking to the disciples, but he said, children, it's like the father, come on, guys, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom? How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed, I would use the word perplexed probably too there, and said to each other, well, who then can be saved?
Hyperbole. That's a word that was on that little test we had to take when I was in college that said you were okay to go teach English. Hyperbole. That's a special English teacher word, hyperbole. It means to purposely exaggerate to make a point. Hyperbole. Jesus loved using hyperbole. Think about a camel going through the eye of a needle. That's a crazy thing, isn't it? But that's the whole point. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to make a serious point here. He's basically saying it was impossible for the rich to enter God's kingdom. Wow. Wow. That's how great a hold money can have on people, on us. Who then can be saved? Well, here's the life verse, Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them. They said, remember, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. Not unlikely, not maybe not. Impossible. But with God, say the next six words with me. All things are possible with God. Say it again. All things are possible with God. That's a heck of a statement, isn't it? Especially if you believe it. Because if you believe it, nothing should get in the way. Now, that doesn't mean, my God, I want a new Corvette, and I'd like it delivered out front in an hour. That's not what it... That'd be something, wouldn't it? We go out front, there's a Corvette out there. Whoa.
Well, he could.
He could. But trust me, he won't. That would just be trouble. But all things are possible. Doesn't mean he will do them, but all things are possible with God.
So if you've been around the church for a period of time, that is a verse that you recognize.
Hello.
You know, the question that the disciples asked, who then can be saved? The thing is, we can't save each other. Jesus said, it's impossible for man to save man. I can't save you. I can't save my kids. Can't save people who are far from God. Only God can. Only Jesus can through the blood of Christ. That's why he came. All things are possible with God. God draws us. God woos us. That's called grace. And everybody in this whole world has the same amount of grace. Just because I believe doesn't mean I get more grace than somebody who doesn't. God loves every single person. The thing is that we've got to accept the gift of grace. And then we begin to love in this empowerment that we're talking about. With God, all things are possible, and that is including being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. God sacrificed his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. through him. That's us. The world's us. And he just wants us to come and receive the gift.
Mm. With God, all things are possible. But God, you don't know my situation. This marriage, God, is over and done. Oh, no. With God, all things are possible. But Lord, I'm a miserable wretch. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the things I've thought. Oh, yes, he does. He knows everything we've done. And with God, even the miserable things we've done, salvation's possible, because with God,
all things are possible.
All things are possible. Think of the absolute worst. With God, all things are possible. I did a spiritual gifts inventory back in 1987. First, I'd ever heard of spiritual gifts. I didn't know what the spiritual gifts even were. I was in this class, Disciple One. Methodist Church had this study. It's about 32, 34 weeks. We were in it. Spring of 1987. No, fall of 87, I think. And we went through the whole thing. The end of it was this spiritual gifts inventory. So you answer these questions, and it tells you what your spiritual gift is. And mine was the gift of faith. I said, I didn't shout out, "Thank you, Lord." I shouted out, "Carrie, what do you do with this?" Because I wanted to sing. I didn't get that. I still haven't gotten it. I'm still waiting. I got the gift of faith. I said, "What do you do with that?" And then God proceeded to show me what you do with that. And at about the same time, I don't know exactly sure, my life verse was Mark 10:27, basically boiled down to those six. With God, all things are possible. They kind of go hand in hand, don't they? The faith gift and with God, all things are possible. They go hand in hand. And God can proceed to show me that with faith you can become a preacher while your wife is already in seminary. You're going to go too with four kids at home. Hello. And you'll leave this job for this job, from this pay to this pay, and it will happen. And with God, all things are possible. That you can start a church 60 miles from where you're living, can uproot everything and move up there. Or you can take that church from a rental building to what we're sitting in right now, and hundreds of other things along the way. Not because of me. Not at all because of me. But because God empowers me. Because God empowers us. God gives us what we need to do what God calls us to do. Amen. Over and over and over, we've been given the privilege and the pleasure to watch God in action. At the most crazy, when things just seemed impossible. And yet with God, all things are possible. Doing the impossible, moving beyond, proving beyond all measure that with God, it can be done. That if you just have faith, if you just have hope, if you just believe, God can make it happen. Say it with me, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. By the way, that's not just my life verse. That's been the Connection Church life verse.
It is.
From just about day one. Amen?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah. Life verses. We encourage you to find one, to have one. Because during the best of times and during the worst of times, a verse can carry you and hold you. Because the Holy Spirit empowers you and will never let you go. Life verse is like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Who? With God, all things are possible. verses like this and others that we've shared and ones that we haven't are the ones that when we feel like we're going to get knocked over and not get up, they help us get up. And it's not the verse itself, it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, it's God who says, okay, I got you. I know it's hard, but hold on to me because I got you. I got you. God empowers you. God empowers you. That's the good news of the gospel. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Amen. Amen. So be it. That is our yes. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word found in Scripture. It just breathes life into us. And it carries us when we feel like we can't breathe another breath. There are challenges in this world. That's in the Bible too. There are hardships. There's tribulation. But Lord, may you get all the glory in that. When we're faced with things that seem insurmountable, may we lift our face, our countenance to you and say, okay, I can do all things through you. You're the one that gives me strength. When I am weak, Lord, you are strong. You can do immeasurably more than anything I ask and imagine. All things are possible. Putting all this together, God, what that really says is that it is well with our souls when we are connected to you. It is well. May that be a life song. It is well with my soul, Lord. May we give you all the honor and the glory at all times and in all places. In the name of the Father, Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, and by that power of the Holy Spirit that empowers us, we pray this. And all of Connection Church said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life He offers.